All his life, Jerome had dreamed of crowds screaming his name. But this wasn't what he'd had in mind. "Jerome!" they yelled from outside. The sounds barely audible where he was standing, on stage, with the rest of the band in the newest and hottest club in Greenwich Village. A strong spotlight shone in his eyes, and a microphone craned over the keys of the glorious Baby Grand in front of him. The Chaise Lounge was the swankiest joint he'd ever played, and with places like the Green Mill and the Opera House on his resume, that was saying something.
"Come, fight like a man,"
called a fellow built like a freight truck.
"Yeah, you lousy piker."
Some of the folks were visible through the brand new glass windows, but most stood in clumps down at the corner of the street, blocked off by bodyguards and rope.
"Spade punk!"
Jerome winced. Even empty, the club gave off an air of smoky luxury. Black vines climbed up the flocked lavender wallpaper toward the high ceiling. A few autographed photos hung over the silky wine-colored booths. Candid shots of glamorous folks like film actress Barbara Lamar and boxing champ Jack Dempsey. There was no bar. The booze came up from the basement through a carefully hidden dumbwaiter in the back. But Jerome knew from experience that the scotch around here was older than half the club's patrons. Apparently, scandal was good for business. After that heart-stopping night at the Opera House weeks earlier, when Carlito Macchiarelli had died, clubs had been scrambling over themselves to be the first to showcase notorious killer Gloria Carmody's colored bow. Jerome had never dreamed the Chaise would want him. A clear line ran through Manhattan at 110th Street, a line that blacks were supposed to stay north of. You had to be a star like Duke Ellington or Bessie Smith to be allowed to perform all the way down in Greenwich Village. And yet, here Jerome was. Little Joe, the surprisingly fat manager, had been nothing but welcoming.
"Take your time putting together something worthwhile," he'd told Jerome. "I know everyone wants you because of your girl, but I want you because you're also one of the best pianists in town."
So Jerome spent 3 weeks practicing with the band and knew they had a stellar show. Part of him wished Evan could have been his trumpet player, just like old times, but his friend was too busy making Jerome's little sister Vera happy, and that was just fine. Better than fine, really. His horn player, Roger, certainly wasn't Evan, but he had a nice smoothness to his style. Jerome had thrown himself into arranging Rhapsody in Blue for the band to play at their debut. He'd caught one of the Paul Whiteman Orchestra performances of the piece over the summer and been thunderstruck. It wasn't classical music, but it wasn't quite jazz either. It was something new, something American. It could have only happened here, just like him and Gloria. Jerome had promised himself that if he ever had the opportunity, he'd lead his band in his own take on the piece. The rest of his band was top-notch, but none of the pending success made up for how Jerome had gotten here in the first place, because his sweet, beautiful fiancée was in prison for shooting a man who'd been about to shoot Jerome dead. He hadn't been allowed to see her once since she'd been pried away from him. Now Gloria was stuck under glass, though hopefully not for much longer. Her cousin Clara had promised to use her column at the Manhattanite to rave at the injustice of it all until Gloria was released. In the meantime, Jerome planned to work as many gigs as he could. He wanted to save enough money so that somehow, somewhere, he and Gloria could get married. The Manhattanite had been selling like hotcakes these past few weeks. So many New Yorkers were rooting for him and Gloria. Jerome knew that many people were eager to see him play, but 10 times that number were keen to hear Gloria. And those were the people he hoped would help free her from the big house. But this crowd was different.